And Stuart's going to read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 11.
Thanks, Tim. It's on page 806. And children, in this reading, there's the word dispute comes up. A dispute means a kind of argument between two people when they're really not happy with one another. So look out for that word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? That means Christians. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers, but instead one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers? The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor swindlers, nor slanderers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Right, Ed is going to come to the front with all his props. And youngsters, if you want to see and be involved and there's lots of things to do, please come and sit at the front down here. There's nice space for you.
All right, boys and girls. It is great to be here and it's great to be looking at God's Word together. Now, I hope that some of you might have been following along and listening carefully to that reading from the Bible, because that's what we're going to be looking at. And thanks to Tim for telling us where we're up to in this book, that there's this church, not too dissimilar from our church, and they thought they were ever so clever, this church, very, very clever. But actually, a church that belonged to Jesus, we're doing lots of things that people who belong to Jesus shouldn't do. And I'm going to just start off by running through a situation that used to happen in my house. I had an older brother. Who has brothers and sisters? A few. Okay. Now, I wonder if this has ever happened in your house. We might say, Mum, can we please have, a glass of Fanta? And she'd say, okay. And my brother, he's older than me. He'd be in charge of pouring, right? And so he'd pour out two glasses. He'd go, rightio, there's glass number one. Okay, rightio, there's glass number two. All right. Yep. Okay. There you go. And he'd say, Ed, there's your Fanta. Here's my Fanta. Has that ever happened in your household? Yes, come on. It happens in every household. And you say, oh, that's unfair. What's normally the next claim of what would I say in this situation? What would I say?
Would you swap with me
That would be a very rational response. What I'd normally say is, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. You pour, I choose. And we'd have this little, wait a second, let's get it even a bit more, like this. And he'd say, no, that's not fair. And I'd say, that's not fair. And so this would go on and on, and we'd start heating up. And so this is what was happening in the church in Corinth. So imagine I want this side of the room to be Ed and this side of the room to be my brother Mark, okay? And I'd say, that's not fair. Can you say that?
That's not fair.
Good, okay. And you say, no, that is fair. Come on, a bit more passion. Louder. 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 No, it is fair. Okay, all right. And so this would go on maybe for, an hour and a half or something until what normally happens at the end of this if it doesn't end in fisticuffs? Where do you go to? Where do you go to when? What's that? Mum, of course. So finally, someone will say, "Mum, that's not being fair." Okay, and so this was going on in the church. A little bit like this, there was a dispute going on, there was a bit of a difference of agreement, they thought they weren't being fair. But instead of going to Mum, they were going to Mr. Brown down the road. What kind of family would you do that? Okay, that's not fair, that's not fair. I'm going to see Mr. Brown down the road and he's going to tell us what's fair. It's strange, isn't it? You go to Mum, she's in the family. And so Paul was telling the Christians in this church, if this happens, this dispute, don't go down the road, don't take it to, the situation was, have you ever heard of a court, a law court? I'm sure some of you have. Yeah, the older kids have. And a judge would sit there and you'd both plead your case. He says, don't go to law courts, sort it out amongst yourselves. Because if you belong to Jesus, you belong to one another. You belong to each other. So you can sort things out among yourselves. And actually, do you remember Tim was explaining, and I said at the beginning, these Christians, what did they think about themselves, this church? They thought that they were very, ever so clever, didn't they? And Paul says to them, I say this to shame you, isn't there anybody amongst you that's clever enough to sort this out? It's as though they thought they were so clever, but then they were going to Mr. Jones down the road to sort out their disputes because they couldn't work them out. And Paul's saying, work it out amongst yourselves. You belong to one another. That's the first thing that he says in our passage. You belong to one another. Work these things out. Don't go outside of the church family to work out the disputes. So this means that sometimes these arguments happen. They happen in our families. Maybe it's over a toy that you want to play with, or you're in the middle of a game and you want something has happened that you think's unfair, or maybe at church in Trekkers or something, you want the pink pencil and someone else is using the pink pencil. Has that ever happened? Okay, yes, Trekkers leaders know what I'm talking about. Or maybe in the church, you know, there's an agreement that we'll have one old hymn every week. This used to happen in my church. And one week there wasn't an old hymn. Well, the dispute would arise, you know. We didn't have our old hymn. So, you know, what are we going to do when there's this dispute? Well, Paul's saying, you sort it out amongst yourselves. You belong to one another. But he then goes on to say, actually, the very fact that you're arguing over this says that there's... You've got a problem to begin with. You've been defeated already if you're going to have this argument. Okay? If you're arguing over this silly thing, then you've been defeated already. And he says, wouldn't it be better to be wronged? Which is an interesting thing to think about. Wouldn't it be better actually to be wronged? So say my brother does this. Well, it would just be better than to argue for an hour and a half and then call in Mum. If I just went... Thanks for the drink, Mark. That's great. That would make things happier, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be better to be wronged? And so Paul's saying that as Christians, sometimes, even though things might not work out for us, particularly in an argument like this, sometimes it's better just to let it go for the sake of being one together, for being one family. Because we belong to one another. And that's okay. So, for example, your brother or your sister might be taking all the toys. Well, you might say, well, instead of having a big argument and fighting over it and getting your share, well, maybe he can have all the toys and I'll go and do some colouring in or something like that. Or whatever the situation might be, we need to think, maybe it's better that I just be wronged. That's okay. It's okay. Do you know, when I was a little boy, my family used to go and visit an old man who'd been a missionary in Africa. And he was a missionary over in Africa, and he's died a long time ago. But I heard a story about him not that long ago, that when he was in Africa, he went to a meeting, and he came out of a meeting with another person from the church or whatever, and went to get on his bike to go home, and the person said, that's my bike. It was a red bike, and he said, no, no, that's my bike. And the person said, no, that's my red bike. And he said, oh, okay, see you, and he walked home. Anyway, his friend rode his bike home, went to put the bike in the shed, and his bike was in the shed. His friend's bike was in the shed. And so his friend got on the bike and rode back to this old man that I used to visit's house and said, it is your bike. Why did you give me your bike? And he said, the old man that we used to visit said, our friendship is worth more than a bike. Our friendship's worth more than a bike. He'd prefer to walk home and not have a bike and still be friends with this person. And that's the way that we as Christians and as a church need to think about one another. Our relationship is worth more than another inch of Fanta or whatever it is, or the pink pencil or the toy or the old hymn or whatever it might be that arises up amongst us. But then, so the first point is, if you belong to Jesus, you belong to one another. But the second point is, if you belong to Jesus, you don't belong to sin anymore. Because I'll blame my brother, but why was my brother doing this? Well, it's because he wanted more for himself. He was being greedy, wasn't he? Wanted that much and only give me that much, right? He was being greedy. He was being selfish. And Paul says, the fact that you're having this argument is because some of you, you're trying to cheat the other people. You want to have all the toys to yourself, or you want to pick all your favourite colours and not let anybody else have them. And he says, don't you know that the kingdom of God, God's household, God, the people in heaven, certain people don't inherit the kingdom of God. They don't belong there. And then he lists all kinds of bad people that won't end up in the kingdom of God. And he's not talking about people that sometimes do these things. It's people whose life is shaped by being cheaters or wrongdoers. And Paul says to them, but you're not like that if you're a Christian. You're not like that. So what I've got here, he says something very good at the end. One of my favourite verses in the whole Bible. I'll read it out for you. It's verse 11 of the passage that we read. And he says, you know, there's all this cheating going on, but people who cheat, and all these other things, they don't belong into the kingdom of God. All these people don't belong in the kingdom of God. Then he says, and that is what some of you were. You're not anymore, because you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. Now, they're big words, aren't they? But I'm going to give you a little demonstration. Does anybody know what the word washed means? You can help me out. I'm very glad that somebody knows what... You pour a bucket of water over your head and what happens? You're washed. Okay, yeah. So has anybody here kind of had a bath in the last couple of days? All right, this is good. There's a few hands up. The parents will be happy. A couple of hands up. Not all the hands were up, I'll add. But, you know, we'll go with that. So washed isn't too hard. He says, you were. Now notice this is something that has happened in the past. You were washed, sanctified, and justified. These funny words, but they're all the same kind of, they all happen at the same time. Now, I've brought something along here, which is a bit gross. Okay, I've got the dishes from our breakfast this morning, all right? Porridge. Did anyone else have porridge? Some Weetabix. Oh, look at this. All right. Some fruit and fibre. That was my one. All right. Now, all of these things over here, what are they? Just anyone going to help me? Yeah? Dirty dishes. Good. Fantastic. They're dirty dishes. Now, I've got here a bucket of water. What Paul's saying has happened to Christians, okay, is that once upon a time, they were a bit like these dirty dishes. So they're dirty. They're over here in a pile of dirty dishes, and nobody wants to use them, of course. Are you going to have this for your breakfast? No. Okay, you're not going to pick up one of these ones because they're bad, right? Nobody's going to go to the cupboard and they're not going to be in the cupboard, are they? They're going to be on the bench. No one's going to pick one of these up and say, I'm going to have, you know, my toast on that or something. No, instead, What happens is, when you become a Christian, you get Jesus takes away all your sin, all your dirtiness, all your uncleanness, all the wrong things that you've done, and he makes you, he's a bit more dirty, that sometimes our sin is very bad, but Jesus can do an excellent job. Okay, he makes you perfectly clean. So you've been washed, but more than just being washed, where would I put this beautifully clean blue bowl now? Am I going to put it over there? Yeah, I'm going to put it in the cupboard. Let's pretend this is the cupboard. That's right. So it's in the cupboard. This is now, I'm not going to put it back with the bad things, am I? I'm going to put it with the clean things. And that's what being sanctified means, the second word. So it's been washed, made clean, but it's been separated from all the dirty things too. It's been put in a special place. It's been sanctified. And what's more, we're going to call this the cupboard, right? And once it's in the cupboard, it's been declared good. So is anybody happy to use this bowl for their things? Yeah, that's right. Because it's good, and that's what justified means. So washed, well, we know what washed means. Sanctified means set apart. And justified means that it's no longer bad. It's no longer declared we're not going to use it. It's declared good. It's fine. God says we're okay. And what Paul says in this passage is you were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus and in His Spirit, the Spirit of God. And so the whole point of this is, if this is you, okay, don't go back over here. There's no point. Don't cheat. Don't cheat the other Christians, because that's what people who live over here do. It's the dirty dishes stuff, right? You belong over here. And when you belong over here, one, you try and do things fairly, but two, even if you are cheated out of your inch of Fanta, you say, I'd prefer to be wronged, because our friendship is worth more than Fanta. Okay? Can you say that? Our friendship is worth more than Fanta. Okay. That's probably not the memory verse that we should be remembering. Okay. That is the main thing that I want you to remember is what he says. That's what some of you were. But now you've been washed, sanctified, and justified by the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Because that's the most amazing thing that's happened to us as Christians. So, if we belong to Jesus, well, we don't go and take our disputes out to Mr. Jones down the road. We deal with it ourselves because we belong to each other. And if we belong to Jesus, we don't be people of disputes, because we no longer belong to sin. We're washed clean of that. So why don't we pray that God will help us to remember that by belonging to Him, we belong to one another and we don't belong to sin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us by washing us, sanctifying us, and justifying us. And Father, we pray that you might help us to live as those people who we ought to live as. And Father, help us to be fair and considerate and loving to those around us. And when we're wronged, Father, help us to forgive. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.